We're in our series, God with Us. It's been a great series. So the one scripture that set the tone for this series, it's in Matthew 1:23. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In the first week, we talked about the valleys, how we find ourselves in valleys, and how as Christians, we're on the mountaintop and life is great. It's so easy to go, man, God is with me. You know, things are going great. But when we hit those valleys, that's when we begin to look around and go, God, where are you? And it's hard to believe that he's still with us. This last week, if you follow me on Instagram or on Facebook friends, I'm willing to be if you are. And it's not an exclusive club. I got that parking. I had that parking ministry. I went to Target, had the first spot. I had to put it out there and say, like, God's with me. God wants me at that Target because he gave me the first space. It was awesome. It was amazing. I walked right in. I'm like, welcome, guys. I'm here. God wants me here at Target. You are welcome. So it's easy to believe he's with us when we're on the mountaintops, but it's when we're in the valleys. But we learned that, yes, we enjoy him on the mountaintops, but we truly get to know God in the valleys. That's when we get to have those intimate situations where we build our faith and know him. Last week, Hannah, in my absence, talked on the wilderness. And sometimes we find ourselves searching. We have an issue. We have a problem. We have a need. We find ourselves in the wilderness like we can't find our way out. It's when we find ourselves in the wilderness is that those needs that we have actually become a gift because it draws us closer to God. Those situations are hard, but when we find that we find our dependency on God, when our needs are met by him, it builds our faith. So then when we find ourselves in that wilderness again, it's a lot easier, have more peace. That drives us back to God. So today, we're going to be talking about the storms in life. Guys, here's a truth bomb about life. You're either coming out of a storm, or you're in a storm, or a storm is coming. Okay, in life, and I don't mean to bear bad news, you know, Debbie Downer or anything like that, but it's true. That's the way life is. There is not a human on earth who is not going to deal with a storm. At some point, some have more storms than others, but it's inevitable. You're going to have a storm. A storm is when difficult times, you have difficult times that blow up out of nowhere. You ever find yourself in a situation where you're like, God, where did this come from? How did this even happen to me? Why is this happening? We find ourselves in the midst of this raging storm in our lives. So it got me curious about storms, and I decided I'm going to do a little research. Why do they name storms? Like, why do they give them names? And see, before, like, and so in 1954, the situation kind of changed. So we named storms Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Katrina. We have all these storms, and Houston is, we know storms, okay? If you've lived here for any amount of time, you have dealt with some rocky storms. And I thought about, what if we named our regular problems like we do storms? Like Hangover Harriet or something like that. You know, you call into work and I say, hey, I'm sorry, Hangover Harry got me, okay? The storm has come. I can't come to work today. Or even worse, what if you have Diarrhea Derek? What if that storm comes and you're like, I'm sorry, guys, I can't make it. Diarrhea Derek is raging through right now. But even worse, when you have both of them, when you have Hurricane Harry and Diarrhea Derek at the same time, it is a disastrous situation, to say the least. But before they started naming things, they used geographical location. So they would say Hurricane Houston or Hurricane Miami or Florida or that kind of thing. But in 1954, a meteorologist, a U.S. meteorologist, started naming storms after his girlfriends. That is a terrible idea, guys. Terrible. And I thought about it, and it kind of caught on, and then some were naming them after their wives, and I was thinking, like, man, what if I came home, and I'm like, oh, babe, there is this devastating, powerful storm coming. People are going to die. It's going to cost billions of dollars. I just want to name it after you. You know, Hurricane Hannah. It has a nice ring to it, which is not true at all, honey. It's not true. But they begin to do that terrible idea. That was terrible. They should not have done that. But I would imagine it'd be more like exes. You know, I have some ex-hurricanes in my life that I could definitely use some names for. But in 1979, they had an equal rights movement for storms. And so they started including men's names into storms. And so that's how we got Hurricane Harvey and all that kind of stuff. But it is another little tidbit is that when a storm is just so destructive, like it's like Hurricane Harvey, what they do is they retire that name. So Harvey is retired, right? I'd never want to meet Harvey again, okay? I'm okay that he's out of my life. He can stay in the ocean, you know, wherever. Go back over there. Amen. She's feeling me. Feeling me. So it's very interesting. See, some of you are in a storm. Some of you have a storm in your life right now that you would love to put a name to it. That you want to put a name to it. It's that destructive that you need to give it a name. Some, it's a storm of betrayal. Someone's betrayed you in some way in a relationship. Some of you, it's a storm of divorce. Boy, is that a storm. Some of you, it's a financial storm that you want to name. It's a situation that you're in, like, man, I just never, it's rocking me. It's raging, this financial problem that I'm having. That's a storm. Some of you, it's a storm of depression. Some of you, it's a storm of addiction. Some of you could be a storm of cancer, health issues. And as Christians, like I said, on the mountaintop, it's easy to go, man, God is with me. But when we find ourselves in these turbulent storms, these situations, and it's all unique to each of us, we end up going, where is God? You ever said that in a prayer? God, where are you? I am in the middle of this storm. It is tearing me up. The boat is being thrashed. Where are you? Why would you allow it? You ever ask that God that? Like, why would you let this happen to me? Why would you let this happen? Why doesn't he do something? I've said that a lot. There's times in my life when it's turbulent. I'm like, God, do something, please. And I begin to bargain. You ever make deals with God? You know, I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday, and we actually talked about that, how like last Sunday, you know, when I'm my porcelain friend, I'm wrapped around it, you know, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I did to upset you, but please make this stop, you know. I'll go to church more. I'll do more. I'll give more. I'll go more than I'm supposed to. You know, I'll do all these things. I'll give. We want to bargain because that presence of that storm is just so rocky and so terrible that we'll do anything to get out of it. We've all been there. It happened. Some of you are in it right now. You're coming out of it or it's coming. But I'll say this. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never let a presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. There was a lot of biblical storms. If you read the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, a lot of biblical storms. There's one that we're going to focus on today, and it was a storm of biblical proportions. I like saying that, biblical proportions. Makes me sound cool. and there was one happening. This was a storm of biblical proportions. There's people that were doing their job. They're going out on a boat, you know, and a crew. They head out into the storm because they have a job to do, right? But the storm comes. And this storm is crazy. Like, it is tearing them apart, point where they're panicking. Like I said, like when you're making deals with God, you know, you're panicking. It's like, oh, whatever I have to do to get out of the situation, because that's what they are in. So when they begin to throw cargo overboard, food, because all the water coming in from the storm, they're worried that it was going to sink. So they're like, let's get stuff out of here. Let's make room so we don't perish. Let's do whatever we have to do. Let's start making deals. They were terrified. So we're going to pick up in Acts 27:20. And this is what it says. This is after the storm has come. It says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. You ever felt like that when you're in one of your storms of life? You're looking to the sky for a glimmer of hope. Just a blinking of a star, something. And you're looking at it and going, man, it's completely dark. I feel alone. And the storm is not letting up. It's getting worse. It's raging. We've all been there. We felt that way in the midst of those storms. And then it continues, it says, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. They gave up all hope because they couldn't see out of the storm. They gave up hope. They thought it was their end. Some of you guys, your storm right now, you're giving up hope because you can't see a glimmer of hope out of it. You're looking to the sky and you can't see a star. The storm is not letting up. It's raging even worse than before. Some of you, you feel like that marriage is not going to make it. No glimmer of hope. Some of you who are single, you feel like I'm always going to be alone. You feel that way. You feel like there's no glimmer of hope. Some of you might be debt. You see your debt, and I feel this way. I got a college debt, guys, and sometimes I wonder, is there a glimmer of hope out of the college debt? You know, because it just gets bigger. I feel like it gets bigger. It's not getting bigger, but I feel like it's getting bigger and bigger. It's when you see you're never going to feel like you're going to get out of that debt, or you're not healthy. You constantly go to the gym trying to work out, trying to make things, and you feel like I'm just never going to get healthy. It's never going to happen for me. Your hope is gone. There's no way I'll ever graduate. I felt that way in college many times, guys. I'm never going to graduate. It's not going to happen for me. Or you're always going to be depressed. You feel like your depression is just so crippling in your life that you wake up every morning feeling like it's never going to leave me. No hope. You begin to give up, and the storm continues to rage. We continue on. In 21, it says, after they had gone a long time without food, meaning like they threw everything out. Now, not only is the storm raging, but they're starving. You ever been starving and in a bad situation? It's not good, okay? It's bad enough just being hungry, normal. You know, hangry. Some people in this room suffer that. I'm not going to point any fingers. but you all know now. But, you know, you're hungry. You feel desperate. They've already thrown everything overboard. Paul stood up before them and said, you know, Paul, he's a patriarch, a man of God, says, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. What, Paul? You were in the boat with us. And how are you going to stand up now? I'm sure they were like, maybe we can throw him overboard, okay? Obviously, we shouldn't be here. But you're going to stand up and say, you should have taken my advice, guys. You shouldn't have done that. He continues on. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. Duh, Paul. Thank you, Captain Obvious. See, Paul was a very spiritual guy, but he was not above saying, I told you so. All right, which gives me, you know, a little lee room, because I like to say I told you so too. It feels good, you know, to say I told you so, you know, but that's what he did here. He said, I told you so, guys. You shouldn't have done this. You should have listened to me, or you wouldn't be here in this situation. See, this leads us to believe it was their fault. It was their fault that they were in this situation. They were in the storm because of their own doing. You ever meet any Christians, and this is always a funny thing to me, when they blame the devil for everything? You know, oh man, I spilled my coffee on me. The devil did it. I don't know why I went country. Sorry, guys. But that's where I'm going with this. The devil did it. He got me. He made me get in that wreck. The devil did it to me. You know, we blame everything on the devil. Okay, stop giving the devil so much credit. Okay, sometimes it's your fault, all right? Sometimes you made a dumb choice, okay? It's okay. Humans are not perfect. We make dumb decisions. It's not always the devil. Yes, sometimes in your life it's the devil, yes, but not all the time. Not all the time. You can't blame every hangnail, every situation on the devil. The devil did it. I like that. I'm going to start using it. The devil did it, all right. Sometimes you're in the storm because you spent too much money. You weren't listening to the alerts from your bank saying, hey, you ain't got no more money. Okay, stop it. When the bank puts out a fraud, like when you still have your card, but they're calling saying, hey, we think somebody has stolen your card. That is a sign, guys. Chill out. You know, stop spending money. Sometimes you spent too much money, and that's why you're in the storm. Sometimes some of us have diarrhea of mouth, okay? And you mouth it off, right? It's like a flock of seagulls when it comes, you can't get them back. Like, ooh, 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 you know, they're gone. These words you say, you spout it off. If you're in a relationship, you know what I'm talking about, especially marriages. You spout it off, and you said something. You weren't. Now you're paying for it, okay? You are in a storm. You're off at work, and you're in a meeting, and you spout it off. You didn't think about what you were going to say first, and now you're paying the price for it. You're in a storm because of it. Some of you, you weren't considerate. You didn't think about other people's feelings first, and you did it anyways. Now you're in a storm. Some of you, you just avoid things. You're a procrastinator. I've been very guilty of this in my early years. I procrastinated, and I would find myself in a storm of having to do a 20-page essay in one night, you know, because I procrastinated. Sometimes we'll push those things away and find ourselves in a storm. Some of you didn't listen when they said, don't date them. Okay, I think everybody can attest to this one. Your mama said, don't date them. Your daddy said, don't date them. Your best friend said, don't date them. Your pastor said, don't date them. The fortune cookie said, don't date them. You took that magic eight ball, you went, what should I do? Probably not a good idea. You don't date them, and you did it anyways. And now you found yourself in this storm of this relationship, and you're like, man, but they have potential. Yeah, they got potential to ruin your life. That's what they got. But we end up in these situations where we did it to ourselves. We did this to ourselves. People warned us. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there's sometimes it's friction in family, but if everybody is saying a bad idea, you probably should start listening, okay? When the fortune cookie is trying to, Confucius is trying to steer you in a different direction, maybe you should listen, all right? Maybe that's one of the reasons why you gave up hope. Because you felt like it was your own fault. You see, when God takes us to a storm, like planting a church, guys, in an area we're probably not so welcome, that's a storm, all right? That's a difficult thing. But when God sent me to this storm, I knew that he was going to get me through it. Because there's something about when God sends you the storm, he's like, okay, he wants me here, so he's going to see me through this storm, all right? Because there's some times where I was like, any glimmer of hope, guys, a star in the sky, something, you know, would anybody show up, you know, that kind of situation. But I knew God was going to get me through. But when you put yourself in the storm, we begin to play self-pity. And we begin to think, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to get out of the storm because I did this to myself. And you don't think that God will help you out of your own dumb decisions, okay? God knows you can be dumb, okay? He knows that. He made you. He knows you have the capability of being dumb. But he wants to help you anyways. See, some of the crew in that boat, they put themselves there. It's easy to believe God's going to get you out when he puts you in it. It's more difficult to believe that he's going to get you out when you put yourself in it. Still yet, the storm rages. Still yet, even when you put yourself in it, the storm still rages and we give up hope. For some of the crew on the boat in that storm that we're talking about in the Bible, it wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault. They're just a part of the crew. And some captain, they go, maybe we shouldn't, captain. That looks a little dangerous. And the captain's like, oh, get on the boat. You know, kind of, that's what a captain sounds like to me. Matey, yeah, get on the boat. Also country, too. You see what it's all coming together, guys? He says, get on the boat anyways. And you have to, like, well, I want a job next week. I got to provide for my family. So I guess I got to get on this boat. Some of them, it wasn't their fault. Have you ever been in a situation where you're in a storm because of someone else's dumb choice? Now, don't elbow the people next to you, okay? Don't do that. That's dangerous waters, guys. Don't do that. That would be a storm in itself. Don't do that. But some of the crew, it wasn't their fault. They're going through the storm because of someone else's dumb choice. For some of you, your parents got a divorce when you were a kid. It's not your fault. You didn't choose that, but it was a messy situation. It was an ugly divorce, and now you are in a storm because of that. It wasn't your choice. Some of you might be at a company that made some terrible choices, terrible, not even just dumb, just terrible choices. You might be in an Enron situation, if you can remember Enron, and you're going, I didn't make this choice, but now I have to find a new career, a new financial situation, but not even by my choice. You trusted someone with some information, someone that you love and you thought would take care of you. You trusted with information and trusted with their advice. And because of their advice or you trusted them, they led you into a storm. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of the God, no matter how you get into the storm. Whether God points you and tells you to go into the storm, whether you just made a dumb decision and you're in the storm, or whether somebody put you in there in the storm, it still does not change the fact that God is present with you in that storm, regardless of how it happens. We continue on in Acts. But now I urge you to keep up your courage. This is Paul talking to them. He says, all right, I told you so, guys, but I'm going to follow up. They're all preparing to throw him over. He said, hold on. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and who I serve, stood beside me. How cocky is that? Say, hey, guys, don't worry about it. There, an angel came to me and stood next to me and told me, it's all going to be okay. How powerful. Basically saying, more ways than you can imagine. Because you have to think about it. Not everybody on that boat was a believer. This is a work boat. People believe different things. They have different faith. Might not believe anything. I don't know. But he had to specify who the God was, who the God who, you know, stands before me, who created me, all these things. There's an angel next to me. So more ways than one, than you know, God is in the storm with you. There's angels around you. And I believe that Jesus dwells inside of you. He's always with you. But I also believe there's a spiritual realm. There's angels, there's demons, all that kind of stuff is happening. It's called angelology, if you want to look it up. It's a study of angels. And so they're talking about how God is always with you. Sometimes there's angels. There might be angels in this room. Might be someone when you walk out. Might be really tall. Might take a selfie with one. I don't know. I hope that would be really cool. It's not always like touched by an angel as you hoped as a kid, you know, when you watch that show. I watched that show. But God is with you. He's got angels with you. He's got something with you to communicate to you, to help you. Tomorrow, when that storm hits, he's there. When you're praying, he hears those prayers because he's with you. It's not falling on deaf ears. When you're crying, he hears your cries. When you need comforting, he's there to comfort you. When you need guidance, he's there, regardless of the storm, because never let the presence of the storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. And here's some bonus scriptures for you guys. All right, so in 2 Timothy 4:16, Paul's talking to Timothy. And we can relate to this. We've been there. He says, everyone deserted me. You ever feel like everybody just left you? Like you're alone on this island to suffer in whatever your storm is. He says, everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. The next thing is in Psalm, David, King David said, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. He didn't just say that, hey, God's for me, I'm okay. No, he said, I will not be shaken because he is right here, regardless of the situation, regardless of the problem. Knowing that God is always with you changes your mindset. It changes your perspective. It changes your posture. Because knowing that whatever the storm is, even though you can't see a glimmer of hope, no star in the sky, and the storm is raging harder, knowing that God is with you, you kind of stand up more straight. They're like, okay, I can do this. The creator of the universe is right here with me. I can get through whatever this storm is. Some of you have heard me talk about growing up. I grew up north of here, and the high school I went to was a little rough, a lot of gangs and things like that, real cheery place. And you know, obviously, I'm a gang type of guy, right? You know, look at me. And so I realized at a certain point, I got to survive, because even though I love people, and I was always nice to people, people hated me. Believe it or not, guys, some people don't like me. I know that's weird, right? I know. but I realized, I learned at a young age that humor is a very powerful weapon, okay? It levels the playing field, okay? If you can get someone to laugh, remember some jokes. Save up some good jokes, and when you end up in an awkward situation or something like that, use them. I guarantee you it will work. You'll get on the same page. It's awesome. And so when I found someone that didn't like me, sometimes it's because I liked the same girl they did, or maybe I was in the wrong hallway, maybe I said something offensive, didn't know it. It could have been just because of the color of my skin. It could have been racial. which I can't control, okay? So whatever situation, I learned that I need some backup, okay? I need some help. And being in a rough school, there's some rough individuals. And I found them, and I would meet them in class. I would joke around with them. So then in hallways, when I needed, like, that person over there that doesn't like me very much and wants to fight me, I go, you know what? I'm going to stand close to this person. And now, whatever this person was, they were familiar with the cold steel of handcuffs. You know, they were tough. They were tough guys. And I would spread rumors like they killed people, you know, that kind of stuff. They had to come to this school because they killed a guy at that school, you know. But when I was standing in their presence, whoever was over there, I was not afraid because I knew that I would be protected. Now, I'm almost like, come on, bring it. I got my posse with me. Let's do this. I'm the funny guy with muscle, all right? I don't remember his name. Henry. I get Hurricane Henry was the guy's name. You know, you don't want to set Hurricane Henry off. Woo! He killed a guy, remember? With a trident or something. So it matters about the presence of who's with you. When you are in the boat, it's not about the boat. It's about who is in the boat. There's another storm, another boat story in Scripture with Matthew and Mark. And this is a different type of boat, different type of storm, but it's the apostles are on this boat, right? And the storms come. But in this moment, Jesus is physically there. The storm is raging. Fear is setting again. They're panicking. They're trying to make deals. Jesus is asleep. He's asleep on the boat. And they're like, man, Jesus is going to drown. We got to wake him up. We're going to drown. Maybe we should wake up the Savior of the world. Maybe he can do something for us, you know? So they go wake him up, and they're like all panicking. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Jesus is like, what's the deal? Why are you guys so afraid? Do you know who's with you? And he stands up and he says, peace, be still to the storm. And the storm stops. When you realize who's in the boat with you, whose presence you are in, you will find peace. The peace is not in the boat. It's not about the boat. The peace is about who is in the boat. So peace is not the absence of a storm. If you think that your peace is built on the absence of storms in your life, you are going to go through a lot of problems because storms will always come. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. That's where peace is. When you find your peace in the presence of Jesus, if he's always in the boat with you, so whatever storm comes, you can always know that Jesus is with me. So regardless of how big this storm is and how scary it is, the one who can say, peace, be still, is with me. It's all about who is in the boat. Continue on, 23, it says, last night, this is why Paul was able to say, don't fear, guys. He said, last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lies of all who sail with you. Angel's telling Paul, you're not going down in this boat because God's got something to do with you. There's something that you got to do for God. He needs you to do it. So you're not going down in this boat. The boat might disintegrate from under you, but you're not going to die. And the people who are with you are not going to die either. Things are going to change. The storm is going to rage on, but you will not perish. Because he still has to stand before Caesar. There's important things he has to do. You can't go down in this battle because there's another battle you have to fight. He's telling him, you can't go down here because, man, what I have for you is so important to the mission, to what we have going on. So basically, if you're not dead, God's not done. If you have breath in your lungs, if you woke up this morning and can breathe, God is not done with you. There is still things that he needs you to do, that he wants you to do, that he allows you to be a part of. He's not finished with you yet. There is more people to bless. There's more opportunities to love people. There's more opportunities to be generous and giving. There's more people to point to Christ. He's not done with you. The ship might be going down, but it's not taking you down with it. God will use what you learn in the storm. This is really cool. God will use what you learn in the storm to help others. So this is one of the great things about what God does with the storms. So the storms are not just for no reason. God actually gives them purpose. and uses them. So whatever you did to get out of that storm, God will then put you in the path of people who are going through similar storms. You ever been at a dinner or a lunch, and you're like, man, I'll just tell this crazy story I had in my life. And they go, oh my gosh, I'm going through that same thing right now. It's not an accident. God is using you to help them. If you survived cancer, help someone else fight it. If you've overcome unfaithfulness in your marriage or relationship, help somebody learn how to forgive like you did. If you climbed out of debt, tell others how you did it and who helped you do it. Be with them. You become an evangelist for the presence of God. Guys, if I can figure out how to get out of student loan debt quicker, I will let you know. I will share that information. I will not keep it to myself. This is very important that you learn from your experiences, because you will be a first account witness that God is with you. So when somebody else is going through the same type of storm and they feel like there's no hope, they want to give up, they want the storm to kill them, you say, God, help me through this situation. He will help you as well. And you help build their faith. Because if they can get on the other side of that storm, it will build their faith. And the next storm won't take them down. Continue on in Acts. Says, so keep your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Faith is not about what you see. Because when you look into a storm, all you see is destruction and fear and bad things and darkness. But faith is in what God says. Having faith is knowing that what he put in Scripture, the promises that he said, is having faith that it's going to be carried out. Not just for your life, but for the lives of your family, for your friends. Faith is not in the actual physical boat itself. Faith is in who's in the boat with you. It's about the one who commands the wind and the waves that are rocking you around. It's about the one who created the trees that you could have the resources to even make a boat. If you're worried about that job, if you're worried about that raise, if you're worried about that neck, that house, God is the one that gave you the resources to even make those things. So don't fear that storm of not getting it or not working out for you. Have faith in the one that can make it new again. Because even if that ship disintegrates, he can help you build another one. He can help you make another one. It's not going to take you down. No matter how big, ugly, or scary the storm is, my faith should always be bigger than that storm. Because you can't always control your situation. You can't control when the storm starts. You can't control how it hits. And you can't control how long it lasts. You can't control those things. All you can do is ride them out. You can't control what other people do, what other people think, but you can control who you listen to. You can control who you trust in. You can control what you say and what you do, where your place of peace is where your faith is. What he says will happen, and trusting that God will do that. The psalmist said it like this: God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Psalmist is like, bring it on. Let the storms come. They're going to come anyways. So let them come so I can show just how great my God is. So it's an opportunity to show. When the economy fails, God is there. Have faith that he will lead you through that storm. When relationships break down, have faith that God can repair and he will lead you through that storm. When you don't get that job, when all else fails, you have to make the choice. I will not lose faith because Jesus is all that I need. No matter the storm, he is my safety, strength, comforter, source, redeemer, sustainer, provider, assurance, salvation. The list can go on and on and on because he can be all those things. Remember, peace isn't found in the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of God. So whatever you're dealing with in this season, whatever storm, whether it's your storm, the storm of someone next to you, storm of Christmas time with family, you know, whatever the storm is, Peace is not found in the absence of it. Peace is found with Jesus. When you learn that, you will not fear the storms anymore. You will know that they are temporary and that God is going to use them for something great in your life. Never, ever, ever let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. No matter your storm, your Savior King is present before you. He is there, present during, and he'll be present after, always. Why? Because his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do in our life, Jesus. Thank you that you just didn't leave it. You didn't just leave us here alone to struggle and fight and be overcome by the storms, but you decided to come to earth, to be born just like everybody else, and to spend time with us, to literally be with us, to help us ride out our storms. Thank you so much, Jesus. Right now, there's some people going through some storms right now. Lord, you know what they are. You know the storms. You know how they're raging and how they feel like there's no hope to those storms. Right now, I pray that they would have the courage to look up and look around and realize that you are standing right next to them. Lord, if we have the opportunity to open someone's eyes up this season, open their eyes up and say, hey, regardless of this storm, Jesus is with you. Give us those opportunities. Show us the people that need to know you are with them. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you all for what you've done in our lives and are continuing to do, helping us out of our storms. Lord, bless these people. Bless Village Heights, and let your will be done. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.